first interview with Ms. Lucille Clark of Maeslick, Kentucky, on January 27, 1987. The interviewer is Lynn David. Now, okay, Ms. Clark, you were born, when were you born?
February 15, 1902.
Were you born around Maeslick?
I was born in Fleming County.
Where in Fleming County?
My father owned land in Fleming County. And the bank was started over there in 1902. That was the year I was born, and my daddy was president of it.
What was your dad's name?
They called him Chess Winchester.
Winchester.
And I never knew too much about the family. Oh, I've always heard that there was three people with the name of men, with the name of Reese, and one of them settled around here, one's up around Winchester. Now there's Reese's up there that's spelled the same way we spell our name, R-W-S, without an E on it. And they are relatives, distant relatives of ours. And I read in the paper Sunday where Reese girl had married from Winchester. Of course, we're not close, and we never did really know each other too well. And they started the Maeslick School. I first went to one room school in the country. It still stands.
What was its name?
I think it was called West Liberty. And I guess I must have gone there about 2 years. And we lived back off of the road. And it was so cold to walk up and wait for the wagon to come. But I had an older brother, you see, that kind of watched after me. And but we ride on that wagon to school.
Now, was that in Fleming County?
No, that was in UK out on the farm.
All right, so you moved from Fleming County then to Maeslick County?
We moved, from Fleming County back to the farm. He owned land in Fleming County and also in Mesa. And so we came back to the farm and lived. And when I started in this first consolidated school, I started in the third grade. And we'd walk in the snow up to your knees, getting to the wagon. And much nicer when we moved to town. And I don't know what the other reason was. My brother was about 6 years old when we moved there.
What was your brother's name?
James, and he's dead now. I'm the only one in the family that lived.
Did you have any other brothers or sisters?
We had, there was three boys and one girl in the family. And I have pictures that I saw the other day. And I just was horrified when I saw it.
Why?
Well,
what was your mother's name?
Not Mary. Mary Collins. She was college before she married Louise. That's my daddy's life's nursery in Paris. Every time anybody would get sick in the family, my daddy could just call for a nurse and get it. And that's what we always had.
Well, that was nice. Really helped.
Oh, mercy, it sure did help, but we had no trouble with it. Now, this is back to the program.
Did your father then stop banking or?
No, he just farmed. Now that group of people right there are all gone. Here I am.
And everyone's gone.
And this one back here is Richard Hopper. Now we don't think he's has passed away. I think he's in New York. But that's me. And I
get closer to the light, the way the light's. Mm-hmm. Now you say you had other brothers and sisters then. Mm-hmm.
But none of them there.
Yeah, what were their names?
Well, all those brothers was Clarence Collins, Reese, and the second one was Herman Winchester. We held on to Winchester. And the other one was James Abel. The Abel was in Reese's family. My grandfather was Abel Reese. And I was just reading in this Shannon, Baptist Shannon Church. And it had Abel Reese in there several times. They were great workers in the Shannon Church and kept yielding and so forth. Now there, my Abel Reese was my grandfather.
Do you know what he did for a living? Was he a farmer?
Farmer.
Now, when you say the Collins, is that the Collins family?
No, they're not. My mother's people were not related to these Collins this year at all. So.
Did you know your grandparents then at all?
I never saw a grandmother or grandfather. And I lived with Dr. Yancey when we came to town. I lived with Dr. Yancey, who had two girls and a boy. And they had a grandmother in Huntington, West Virginia. And every few days, they'd get a box from grandmother. And they send them candy and cakes and clothes and everything. And I was very jealous of her because I didn't have any grandmothers to give anything.
Oh, but it would be hard for everyone.
Yes, and I didn't realize what a grandmother was really until I was just with those girls and all the time. And there are pictures in that paper. I think I was so jealous.
I'll have to look at it after a while. So you grew up on a farm, though, around Man's Leg. What road was that off of?
Well, it was on the Raymond Road, here to the left, basically.
Yeah.
And my daddy bought that farm from his brother, who was named Bell Reese. And he bought a Bell Reese, went over around, well, it wasn't in Fleming County, but it could be peaceful when we were still in Mason, I think. But there was three boys, and me and my family, and in his family, I think there were about three boys and two girls. But they were on a farm, and you wonder sometimes how to make a living farm. But it didn't take much then.
What did your dad raise on the farm?
Well, he was a tobacco man.
Uh-huh.
And he bought tobacco, and that was such a good piece of that, man.
So he went around to different farmers and bought.
No, I don't know how, but I know we had hogsheads. You know what a hogshead is?
Uh-uh.
Huge, big, round thing. And you've seen them on trucks, I expect, going towards Lexington.
Like big, round barrels.
Yeah, great, big things. And they would, now I don't know if he went around and bought tobacco or not, but I remember this piece I read the other day. Said that he had such good judgment and that he never lost on any of his investments. And but anyhow, they would have that tobacco in the barn and put it in the hogsheads, you know, and then there was a great big thing, kind of big screw-like thing that pushed that down. Well, he picked me up and set me on top, you see, and as that screw went down, I got to ride.
Like your own merry-go-round.
Yeah. So I remember that, and well, a farm's a nice place to raise children. A small town's a nice place to raise children.
Did your brothers give you a hard time growing up?
Well, yes, they did. After I got up around teenage, and Mom would put powder and paint on the face. So sometimes that would disappear somewhat. But that was just a teen. They were pretty good to me. Had a few fights.
Go back to your dad. I've heard about prizing tobacco. Was that just what he did?
That's what he did. I don't think it said in that article. But it said he bought a farm in Fleming County, and I think that's when he moved over in Fleming County. Mm-hmm. But he owned, I've heard he owned 1,000 acres at one time out in where my farm is now. Yeah. I've got a farm out on the Furman's Chapel Road. Out of 82 acres, and I think he owned just a whole lot of land out in there. But now, of course, I'm the only one that's got. Oh, I've got a niece that has a farm right across the road. And
where's that part of your father's original farm?
Uh huh. And we come down in the summertime and stay on the farm. And I can remember walking down from the house to the mailbox, which was down the hill, barefoot, because it was a dirt road and felt so good to my feet.
Well, that's
but
it does,
I was quite small, but I can remember when we left UNM. I was not in school, but I was, I don't know how old I was, but anyhow, I remember when we left. and came farm, but we lived in Union a long time.
Did you?
I think all four of us were born in Union. And Dr. Marford, a very fine doctor.
You were telling me before we turned the tape recorder on that you had remembered your mother drying apples.
Yes.
How'd she dry them?
I can't. Now, that was on the farm, of course. They were put on heavy towels, I imagine maybe sheets, up on the roof. And they put the apples, peeled them, and sliced them up, you know, and put them on the roof. Did you ever see any?
Uh-uh. Did she ever dry any other things like that?
No, just the apple, only thing I can remember. And we made cider. We had a mill that we made cider with our apples. And that was always really good when it was good and fresh. And I can't remember that we had too many fruit trees out there, but we had apples, I know, and maybe some peach trees and cherry trees. I think we had some.
What would she do with those? Probably can them?
But I don't remember her putting up things like that. I just don't know. And, of course, we didn't have freezers that you could put vegetables in and keep any length of time. Sure is different now.
Oh, it is. Did your dad raise any livestock of any kind?
Yes, he had some cattle. Not a big lot.
Did you butcher a beef in the winter? Or?
No, we didn't then, because we didn't have freezers. And, yes, he had cattle, and I think we had sheep at one time. And I can't remember, but that farm had 212 acres in it, and I don't know anything about how much at one time he owned out there, but we've been told that he owned quite a lot of it.
Over time.
And his farm out there, I was talking to this boy when Mr. Clark was down in the home about we were talking about farming and cleaning out ponds and things like that. And he owns the old Reese place now, this boy does. He and his father's dead now. But anyhow, he said that they worked so hard on, there was a rock wall in front of the house. I mean, in front of the yard down the thing. And started to go into the bag, so they decided they'd take that rock wall down. And it took a dam, and there was another rock wall in the back of that rock wall, which showed that the slaves put up the wall. Now, my granddaddy, Abel Reese, had a lot of slaves.
Oh, he did?
Uh-huh. He had a lot of slaves. And there used to be papers in the trunk, but I never did get my mother's trunk, and I just don't know if I'd ever become, but there used to be papers where he bought and sold. And when his daughters would marry, I think he only had, as I remember, two daughters, and he'd give them a slave when they married. One that was up big enough, of course, to work and everything.
Yeah. Did your mother remember anything about that at all, or did she ever talk about it?
No, I never did hear her talk so much about that. And I never did remember my daddy talking about it. The cemetery is got a lot of Reese's out there. That's what my name was for Mary. And I don't know if there was a Methodist minister named Baker that was related some way to the family, but I never knew. He was a big, fine preacher. I remember them sending three of us over to Brother Lowe's to tell him something. They were having a kind of convention or something at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went over there, and I was quite small. And he said, now that girl right there is related to that Reverend Baker. And I was wondering what in the world he was talking about, because I knew nothing about it. But we were all like small at that time. But,
oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to which steps.
No,
my fault. My fault. I don't know what I start to say either. When you were little, did you ever hear any of the stories about the Knight Riders?
Oh, my Lord, yes. I can tell you those.
Can you?
I'd like to hear about. I've just read a little bit, and I don't know that much about it.
Well, they visited us one night out on the farm, and they at that time were going around tearing up the back of the woods, and I don't know how long they were doing, but anyway, they came out there one night. Now this was on the farm, and I remember riding horses, you know, and you can hear the horses as they all came in, and we didn't live too far off the road. And oh, that old house now is horrible looking. I wouldn't, my son told me he'd take me out there and let me see it, but I didn't care to see it. So anyhow, I remember I've been scared, and my daddy got up, and it was, of course, in the night. And he got up and dressed and went out there and talked to him. And of course, there wasn't anything said or done that I can remember that was bad. But anyway, he, my mother got up, lighted the lamp. That's what we had, was lamps, and went to the door, and somebody hollered, says, "We don't need that light." And I was standing right by her whole woman's dress, just hanging on to the dress. But he didn't, they didn't do anything to him, and he didn't do anything. I think they told him to go to Maysville and sign up something. I don't think he did. I don't think he knew. But, of course, we never knew who they were. And they had the different suspicions of who might be in the group, and don't know how many was out there. But I remember the night lights. And one day down at the restaurant that we had in Mays Lake, some of us would meet down about 5 o'clock in the afternoon for a cocoa. And one day, Sue Marshall Collins was there. And she's my husband's first cousin. So they were talking about the night riders. And so my brother was sitting there with his long face. He never said a word. Sue Marshall and William was talking, and my husband, and so we were just talking, and I was telling this tale about remembering when they came out to the house, the farmhouse, and so finally, William said, "Herman, where were you when that was going on?" "I was in the bed." "You're damn right I was under the bed." So they just laughed and laughed and laughed, and I expect he was, I don't know. But I remember the night riders, and I have a niece that teaches in the deaf school in Battleboro, Vermont, and they asked so many questions about it. So one time in the paper, oh, there was just quite a few pieces, just little notes, you know, and I cut so many of them out and sent to them about it, because they were so anxious to know. But I sure can remember back to night riders.
You must have been pretty frightened.
Well, I don't remember that I was so scared. I just was holding on to my mother's dress. And I remember what they said. They said, "We can do without that light." But
your dad didn't pay any attention to me.
And I don't remember him ever doing anything bad. Of course, they tear up the beds. I just wish that you could have read some of those things that just a few years ago I said about what all they did.
I'll go down to the newspaper office and get the stories.
Well, I expect maybe you could find something about that.
But I'm interested, you know, people like yourself who were there and saw them. Do you have any idea who was in the group out around here?
Mm-hmm. We never knew, you know, who they were.
Did they cover their face with masks?
I don't remember that. Of course, I didn't. I just know the horses were all there, and they were in there for just a little while.
Yeah.
And I think just soon my daddy went out and said something to them, they left. And we never knew. We'd hear different people maybe was in some of them kin folks. But I don't think that was all guesswork.
You say you've talked to other people about it here. I heard other people's stories about what the Night Riders did.
Well, of course, the Longmakers was about the only stories that I can ever remember. And that one of the front doors, you know, has got bullet holes in it where they shot, and they had somebody at every window, I think, up in there that...
They weren't so peaceful when they hit the Longmakers.
No. They weren't. But I don't remember that there was any disturbance. We didn't raise a lot of tobacco. And what caused that? That they were trying to, they'd tear up the beds. And they get after somebody and he'd say, I didn't plant that bed, I didn't tell my tenant to plant. He did that, sow the bed. Said, I didn't sow that bed, this tobacco seed. And so he tried to push lead onto the tenant. But I don't know what the farmers are going to do.
Yep, I don't either.
It's a sad, sad story now about them, that, this present time.
It is. It really is.
And how the children, of course, went there by themselves, milk. And that helps them, but gosh, things are so high.
Now, do you have a tenant on your farm now?
Well, I have a house that's rented, but the tenant that raises my tobacco don't live on the farm. I had a beautiful crop this year, and oh my, my check was so small compared to some others that I had received.
Yeah.
So, but I don't, I think they're just fine on my good reason. I don't believe they're going to be allowed to raise it.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot different than it has been in the past. You're right on that.
I'm just
going to have to diversify and find something else to raise.
I don't know what to do.
When your dad was farming, now did when the boys were little, did he have help?
Yes, occasionally. And we had tenants all the time, pretty good tenants that helped out. And we had, just for having help, just occasionally, maybe in cleaning time and things like that, or having company or something, extra help. But outside of that, we didn't have. But every time anybody in my family got sick, my daddy would get a nurse just like that. The oldest brother was had typhoid fever and was real sick. And we got a nurse. And then when my brother was in MMI, he had rheumatoid arthritis, I think that was what it was called. And we got a nurse. And then when my mother got sick, of course, my daddy died first. I was in the, I believe I was in the 11th grade when he passed away. And he had a stroke. He just never recovered from the stroke. And then my mother died. I don't know how many. But both of them were around. One of them was about 78. And I about lived both of them. I know that though. And my mother was, I just think she was nearly, she was over 77. They were both pretty close to the same age.
So you were born late in your parents' lives?
Yes. My daddy was over 50 years old when he married.
Oh, he was?
I think now that's right. There was 17 years difference between the age of the woman that he married, my mother, and him. He was an old, old bachelor.
She took him on anyway.
Very successful. And I reckon he decided to marry, and there was three boys and a girl.
Did he? They ever talk about how they met?
No, they were all out in that area together.
Had either one of them been married before?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many really. It was about. There wasn't a big family of them. I think my grandmother Reese died early. I think she wasn't too. But the, out on the cemetery, the, I think my grandfather's was 96, one of them, they all lived.
You have a long-lived family then.
I have a long-lived family. All of them out there. And there's Reese is up around Winchester that's related to us.
That's what you said. Did you ever hear your folks say anything about the Civil War?
No, not too much. But this article that I read, let me see. I know where that is if you're waiting.
Sure.
Born in Shannon? On an old farm in Shannon, in Mason County, Kentucky, near Sardis, on the 16th day of November, 1842, and is the fourth son of a family of six children, five of whom are now living. During early boyhood,
During early boyhood, he attended the district common school of his neighborhood until he arrived at the proper age to attend a higher school, when, with a view to qualifying himself for the active business of life, he attended the Kentucky Western College, then located in Millersburg, in Bourbon County. After which, during the progress of the late Civil War between the states, he took a mercantile and business course at his commercial college in Cincinnati, Ohio. We don't realize what a hard time at that time it was for them to get an education.
According to that, then, your father didn't participate in the Civil War in an active role, did he?
No, not active role. He's in September 1893, united in marriage to Miss Mary Collins, daughter of John and Eliza Collins, and to this union, two children were born. Clarence Collins Reese, September 11, 1894. And Herman Winchester Reese, March the 29th, 1899. On November the 10th, 1896, he moved to Ewing, Fleming County, Kentucky, where he has been engaged in handling tobacco and overseeing his land in this county, Mason and Robinson County. He has been a safe, prosperous, and successful businessman, and by caution, diligence, and foresight has become one among the most prominent businessmen of the county. Now, I read that because it's good, and it's been bad, I wouldn't read it.
Now, where, when was that article written on your dad? What year do you know?
I don't know, and I don't even know who, where
I got this. Because that'd be before you were born.
Oh, yes. The two boys. And then we, I know that the last two of us, I know was born in Ewing, and I think all four of us were born in Ewing.
Yeah.
But I don't guess it was either, because
that age had to be the last two of you. When was your brother born? Was he born before you or afterwards?
Well, the youngest one was born. He was born in 1906.
So it had to have been written before you were born in 1902,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about 1899 for one of them.
So we can pretty well limit the time period when it was written.
I can remember one time. A Civil War was going on then, wasn't it?
1860 to 1865. And if he was born in 1842, he would have been old enough.
I know. Now, I remember hearing a tale one time that he had a gray suit on. And he was, which war was a gray suit?
The South.
South. Well, anyway, he was questioned a lot about it. And I guess he hid.
Well, been smart if it was Northern soldiers.
But they thought maybe he was connected some way or some way. I know they said that he had that gray suit on, and it made them think that he maybe was connected some way with the war or something.
You never heard any sentiments expressed by either of your parents about
it? No, I can't ever remember anything ever being mentioned about the Civil War. I've got a grandson that wants so bad to know about the Civil War. He tries to find every book he can find to read it.
Well, I know that, you know, in this part of the country especially, the sentiments were so divided.
Yes, I know.
And I wondered how it affected.
Kentucky's always been thought of as a southern state. Mm-hmm.
But yet along here we had, especially in Fleming County, the north and the south both had depots, clothing or supply depots right in Flemingsburg.
Oh, that is.
And I just wondered, you know, which one your parents favored.
I don't really know. I just didn't know. I expect the south, though. I'm the judge.
You said your grandparents both had slaves, so that might...
Mm-hmm. Abel Reese was my grandfather, and he had slaves. And I think in that family was just about three boys and two girls.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember growing up, ever seeing any old Civil War veterans or hearing them talk as a child?
No, I can't remember any of that. And I can't remember much. Now, I know they did talk about the war, but it's for remembering anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have remembered.
No.
What they said.
You probably weren't that interested.
No.
When you lived on the farm, did you help your mother around the house a lot, or did you help your dad out in the fields, or did you have any chores that you were expected to?
Well, I worked around the house a little bit, not much, making beds and just little things that I could do. But I can't remember where, and the boys worked on the farm, the two boys. But see, in this piece, they were in the barn.
Yeah.
And I think that, I guess they were burned on the farm, I don't know. I don't think they were. I thought all of us were born
in Ewing.
But I remember the bank started in 1902. I was up there this summer and talking to the people in the bank and trying to explain who it was, but they'd kind of forgotten the Reese name. Didn't get too far.
Well, shoot. Did you celebrate holidays as a child?
I can't remember other than Christmas.
What'd y'all do at Christmas time?
Oh, very little. I can't remember.
Did you have a tree?
But not out on the farm, we didn't have. We didn't have a tree till we moved into Mosley, and I don't know when we moved into Mosley. I know my little brother. I remember when I got off my wagon down here, you see, they told me where the house was. And for me to be sure and get off of that wagon, that bus at that time. And
now you're talking about the school wagon.
Yeah, the school wagon. It wasn't the bus, it was the school wagon. And I got off, I was scared to death, and I thought I would never get up to that house. They told me exactly where it was and everything, and I kept walking and walking and walking. And I thought I'd never get up there.
Where did they move here in Mayslick?
It's right up, not directly across from the Catholic Church, but this next house. There's an alley between the two houses up there, where Mr. and Miss Collins live now.
And that was where your
that
folks?
That's where we moved.
Where did the bus let you, or the school wagon let you off at?
Down the town.
Down around where Mason's is now. Well, it would be a long walk for a little girl not sure where her family lives.
I didn't
lives.
Know where it was. I'd never seen the house or anything. He came in and there was two houses for sale, and so that's wonderful.
How come you decided to move to Mayslick, do you know?
Well, because we were so far from school, and I froze my fingers walking to the school wagon, and for years and years and years, just the very end of the fingers, you know, when the way they get cold, they burn. It's kind of burning. But I walked in, they dressed me warm, my family did. I had rheumatism, I missed a lot of school one year. And I remember lying on a small bed in the living room. I think it's in the living room now on the farm. And I was crying and crying, my daddy sitting on the side of the bed, rubbing my legs. They just hurt so bad, but I sure did. Dressed me warm. I had on underwear, heavy underwear, and then my mother knitted moccasins for my feet. And I had that, and then my shoes, in order to keep me warm. And I'm thankful for it now, because I got pretty good health. Be 85 next month.
You don't look at it at all.
Oh, my, now I need to say
that. Well, you don't.
I'm wrinkled as I can be.
Those are laugh lines.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
I'm surprised more children weren't seriously damaged by the cold coming off those farms to the wagons and everything.
Well, there's no heat at all in those But the wagon would be full of people by the time Captain Aislik picking up people all along the way.
Were there blankets in the wagon or heated bricks or anything to keep people warm?
The only time we had a heated brick was when Gertrude and I go sleigh riding. And Miss Mildred, her mother, would get a brick, you know, and fix it for us.
Gertrude Collins?
Uh-huh. We've always been good friends.
Where'd you all go sleigh riding?
Well, it was right up there now where, on the other side of where Dr. Davis, right across from where the Catholic priest lives.
Uh-huh.
And right across from there, over in that field where that house sits, there was hills, and we would just have a big time. And then we'd go down in front of the schoolhouse, and some of the teachers would be with us some of the time. And there was a steep hill down there that went right into a branch. And if it was, and then you'd lie down on the sled, and then two or three more would pile up on top, you know, and down that hill we'd go. But oh, we used to sleigh ride. I went to Portsmouth one time with Gertrude, and she was buying some clothes, and I was walking around all around over the place, and I could hear her talking. She had a school teacher's voice, and she says, "Now you be sure and find her some clothes if she wants any, because she's my good friend. We used to sleigh ride together all the time." And then when Mr. Clark would look out of horns and see that it snowed, he'd say, go to the phone, call Gertrude up now, and say, you all better go sleigh riding today. And both of us, oh, we couldn't hardly walk. But I don't know why people, when they get old, don't like to tell their age. Because it's something to be proud of.
I'd rather be able to be alive to tell it, wouldn't you?
Yes. Be alive to tell it, that's right.
You sleigh rode in the winter. What'd you do in the summer for fun?
Well, right around here, there wasn't anything very much. So many people had a pony. Sue Hopper had a pony. Gertrude Collins had a pony. And the Hopper, Richard Hopper had a pony. And there's two ponies in that picture now, and I don't know. One of them, the Clarks, had a pony, of course. And they had 12 children out there. The youngest one and the oldest one is still living. And one other out of the 12.
Now, is that your husband's family?
Family.
So you knew your husband then growing up. Mm-hmm. You grew up with him. Were you the same age?
Oh, yes, we were. Now, his birthday's in November, and mine's in February. And that's the difference between
your ages. So you.
And we had a beautiful married life of 62 years.
Oh, my. When were you all married?
We married in November the 22nd, 1922. I think it was 62, 61 or 62. I think it was 62.
Isn't that great?
Yes, it is.
And you lived here all your lives.
Very right in place.
How'd he court you?
Well, first it was a horse and buggy. His sister had drove a horse and buggy, and then my other friend, Thelma Arthur, had a horse and buggy. And so we always had a buggy to ride in. And, but no, I didn't court till I was in the 11th grade or 12th grade, and then I was held down pretty. I was a senior, and I needed to be staying at home doing a little studying so I could get out of school, because I wasn't that smart.
Were you allowed to go out, just the two of you together, or did you have to go in a group?
Not until I was up in the 11th and 12th grade. But we always, the two of us, his sister, would we dated together all the time. And and it was fun. A lot of times when I wake up at night and can't go back to sleep, I would go thinking about that, different things that we... And I went to Transylvania in 1921. And she did too. And we took the same classes, run around with the same bunch. Lovely people at that time, about 200. Now look at the colleges now, 30,000. And we knew everybody, and that's where the Christian preachers were, and all, like, several of them real well. And she died. We went in September, and she died before Christmas.
What happened?
Well, she had, all of a sudden, she was talking about, she went with a boy by the name Sputney, and I was going with William, which was her sister. And she was lying there on the bed, wondering what she was going to give Sputney for Christmas. That I don't know what to get him, but I'm going to get him something. And anyhow, we were talking. And all of a sudden, she had a pain in her side. And they called the ambulance and took it to the hospital. And her mother came, they released, I don't know whether they started that night or not, but the my husband's oldest, one of the older sisters, lived in Lexington, Byers, Frances Byers. And anyhow, the next morning, it was the next morning. They got there, well, the first night,
uh-huh.
And the second night, they called that morning after Frances' house and told them to come to the hospital. And of course, Frances scared her to death because she kind of imagined what the mother just talking to life about everything. And got out there, and the nurse just kind of did that. And so, her innocent had died. And so I'll tell you right now.
Did you stay at the university then, or did
yes,
you come
I
home?
Stayed. We had those two big houses across from Transylvania, and we lived in them.
Uh-huh.
And they were just lovely people up there. They were so nice to me. I went back to school, but I wasn't doing too much good. Anyhow, we were tri-dales, and I got a condition grade, I think you call it, on French, and I didn't get initiated. And of course, Mary Anson died before the initiation, and they insisted that I go on to the tri-dale meetings, but I didn't go. I didn't go anymore at all. In April, my other roommate, Josephine Bain from Shelbyville, Kentucky, a lovely girl, and a senior in college, she died.
For heaven. You had quite a blow then.
Oh, I never did. I get over it, but I died. They let me come home. They didn't want me to, but I could not stay up there.
Well, I can see why.
And they had moved my room and moved it downstairs, and I was with girls that I didn't know real well. And three of us was in a room, Josephine Ramson and I were in a room. And as I say, there were lovely people up there at that time, and I'm sure there is now. I don't mean that. But they were so nice to me. I just got letters and telephone calls. Please come back. Please come back. But I didn't go back. I knew it wouldn't do any good.
Well, you had a pretty traumatic year.
Yes, it was.
So you all were married then the following year?
And we married in 22.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 20 months when we went to school. But the older colleges are so different now.
And they still got lovely people, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But they, seems to me they're just too big. And up there, you see, I guess we had less than 200 at that time, and you knew everybody.
Yeah.
And we had the cafeteria where we ate and this, that, and other.
I've toured the campus at Transylvania, and it's a lovely old campus. I thought about going there, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
And was accepted at Transylvania, but then I changed.
Mm-hmm.
When you were growing up in Maze Lake, do you remember anybody in town that made a particular impression upon you, either good or bad, town character or somebody you remember?
I used to be crazy about Mary Parker when I was small and wished that I could be like her and look like her.
She's a lovely lady.
Yes, she is. She was so pretty. Oh, she was pretty. And I can't remember that Mr. Clark used to fall in love with his teachers. I think he did that to get them to kind of humor him a little bit, though. He was a teacher's pet at one time, I think.
Was he a good student?
No, he wasn't a good student, and he didn't finish high school.
He didn't even make it clear through, huh?
No, he didn't make it clear through.
Did he drop out because he had trouble with his grades or because
no,
they were needed at home?
No. he was needed at home, and all he had had trouble with the principal. And so anything that happened was always blamed on him.
Rightly or wrongly?
Partly rightly. And partly wrongly, I think. But he was certainly a fine person and always so good to me.
Wow. I'm sorry I didn't know him.
Well, he was.
Did you know his family very, did they ever talk about his family very much when you were married or when going together?
Yes,
about the Maeslake Church
mm-hmm.
and 125th anniversary. And this is the ledger, the Daily Independent from Maysville. July 28th, 1966.
Oh, those papers are old. Yeah. This is a picture that was taken of Christian Church juniors, and now 6 of the 12 children are in there, of the Clark children.
My goodness. This was July 10th, 1982, but the picture is 60 years ago.
Long time ago. That's when we had juniors.
A lot of children in front of the church in there. I recognize some of the names.
Well, I expect you do.
Yeah. Mary Parker, Anna Pierce Clark, Sue right. Marshall, Fox Collins. Yeah. Francis Clark Bears.
Well, that's Frances Clark. She had a group of guys. Who did she do? All of them.
Good looking group of kids.
Well, those Clarks were pretty certain. Mm-hmm. Anna Pierce, Susie.
Did your husband ever talk about growing up with all his family, what it was like?
Well, a little bit. They had lots of help out there. They had some colored people, you know. They had a cook and a washerwoman, and about once or twice a year they'd have a sewing woman that would come in and stay quite a while. And they had plenty of help, a lot of colored people. And my husband said he liked them better than he did his parents. They just, they're so good to children, you know, colored people, along years and years and years and years ago. Maybe not now, but, and he was with them all the time out on the farm. And he kept his daddy on the farm a lot.
Do you know his folks very well?
Yes, I knew. See, we all went over here to the church.
Christian church.
Mm-hmm. And a big bunch of them, but she kept them in church. And William got paid from Sunday morning. He was out with his pigeons, and they kept calling him and calling him to come on and get those sunscreen. They had a cart, pony cart, and I ought to have pictures of that. And it was a two-seated some way, but anyhow, it held all the children. And so they kept hauling for him and hauling for him and hauling for him, and he didn't come. And they went off and left him, and he quit Sunday school for a while, but he finally went back. So that worried his mother. But, oh yes, I knew all of them. They were all so pretty.
I've heard a lot of people talk about raising pigeons as children. Was this a pretty popular pastime
when you were growing up? I don't know. He was just crazy about pigeons. And he had a bunch of them. And he had some, what do you call these that fly away and then come back?
Yeah, carrier pigeons.
I think he had some of those. And he just loved them. He had all kinds. So finally, they seemed as though they were staying on the roof so much that his daddy made him get rid of them. And he hid the ones he wanted, 2 or 3 or 4. And he had just a building where he had his pigeons. It was just a small place.
Uh-huh.
And his daddy kept telling him, he says, I'm going to have to. You're going to have to get rid of the pigeons. And so when the day he knew that his daddy was going out there and let them all out or whatever, now I don't know, I don't think they were killed exactly, but let them all out, well, he and the ones he wanted to keep, about four of them, I think, maybe two pairs, something like that. And his daddy kept looking at him out. Is this all the pigeons? Yes, sir. I think that's all of them. Well, says, we're just going to have to get rid of them. And he kept back to, and then went along to labor laying eggs and had more pigeons. But he sure spent his time out there with his pigeons.
Did he continue with his pigeons after you all were married?
Yes. After the children were born, we had pet pigeons. Pet hens. We had a pet hen.
What was your pet hen's name?
I've forgotten what the name was, but when that pet hen died, everyone was crying. Two children, and I had just two boys, and the two children, and the parents too. You can get awfully attached to things like that.
You can.
Oh, I tell you.
You really can. What are your son's names?
Well, the one on the farm is William Reese Clark, and the one in Nashville is Charles Allen Clark. He was named for Charles Clark over there, and that was William's brother. And for the Allen came from the Susie Clark's married an Allen.
Is that Ian?
A-L-L-E-N. And so that's, and then of course William Reese was, I put my name in for his middle name, and now we've got William Reese the third.
Down to the third generation.
Yeah, raised the third.
Now, did your husband farm then all your married life? Or?
No, he banked. He was in the bank.
He was in the bank.
He went in the bank. He had a coal yard over at Helene Station. And he was there for years and worked. He made money, but he worked awful hard. He bought an old truck that wasn't very much account, but it, and the road was terrible. Great big holes in that road. Now that was from Maeslick to Helena. Great big holes in the road. And he bought that truck and delivered coal. And then he really started making money, but he sure did have to work.
I'm sure he did.
Oh, he'd come in, look like a colored person with all that coal dust on him. And he delivered coal clear to Mount Olive.
That's quite a ways to go. Where was that coal station in Helena?
It's right across the railroad track over there.
Okay, coming from Maeslick, would that have been on the right-hand side of the road then? Or on the left?
Yeah, you cross that. On this road going to Helena, you cross the railroad track.
Yeah.
And there, his place was there, a great big building. And he had coal and sand and cement and things like that. His brother had it before him, and then his brother got a job in the State National Bank. He married into the family that was kind of running the State National, and then he got a job there, and of course he quit out here. And when he bought the place, I got the building, bought the company, and he was over there for, I don't know how many years, and coal business. And an old man, heavy Mr. Pat Colopy, not a colored man, a white man. And he was just the best old man, as honest as he could be. And but then it was work.
Oh, yeah.
Had lumber and sand and different things, paint, I think, maybe some. I think he had sold paint for a while. And then he was offered a job at Mason's Bank. And I couldn't tell you what year that was. And he went in there and stayed for 12 years. And then he got a job at State National Bank. And he was there for about 2 years, and they had a proxy fight and put him out. And then he went in the security bank, and he was there the rest of his life.
Now, what positions did he hold in the three banks? What position was he in the Maeslick Bank?
Well, he was there was just two people in it, you see, and that, at that time, and that was William and Miss Elizabeth Mitchell, of the Mitchells that left the church money. And William worked in that bank for 12 years, and then he went to the State National, and I guess he was in there maybe about 2 years, And then his brother went in as president. And that's what caused the proxy fight. Because well, they just thought there was too much family there or something. And now it's a huge, huge big bank.
Mm-hmm.
But he never did sell stock he had in it. And it really does pay good dividends.
Good. Good.
So, and we wonder why a lot of times when we race, he stops in every morning. He's got the awfulest cold now that ever was, but he stops in every morning. And so many times he'd say, I don't know why Daddy didn't sell that stock. They put him out of the bank. And why he didn't sell it, but he didn't sell it. And he
probably decided he's going to make a profit off of them in spite of them.
Well, maybe he kept it for meanness.
Could be. Probably yeah. Was.
And but he, then it divided, you see. And
yeah.
It made him have a lot of stock down there.
Good.
And it's paying off to keep it now.
Well, it's provided you a beautiful home here. You have a lovely home.
Well, thank you.
Very gracious.
It's too big for me. I wonder how long I can stay here. But
it's a warm place. It's a warm house. Feels like a home.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind being here. I think eventually I'll have neighbors over here.
Yeah.
But you see, that house is empty and this one appears empty. Yeah. But I think eventually that I'll have neighbors. Some neighbors.
I hope so.
About it first, renting it out. And then they decided, they said the grandchildren love to come out here so much.
I heard that.
And ride horses. They've got horses up here. And so they've kept it now.
You said you didn't know much, but what do you know about the Estill House? Do you know very much about it?
No, I really don't. I just don't. Now, that house is old. It was one of the first houses, and I couldn't understand why it wasn't in that book, you know, that my son gave me for Christmas. He took it home with him the other day to look through it. But Miss Looney gave us a book that told about that house, and at that time it was 140 some odd years old. Golly, that's been 10, 15 years ago, or maybe more, that I remember reading that. Said she wanted us to read about it. And the first time I went in that house, Mrs. Wilson was a handsome elderly woman, had prettiest black hair and dressed beautifully in a black dress and had the black velvet thing around her neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with Gertrude Collins. She was working on the Red Cross, taking donations for the Red Cross. And we went in that house, and I know I just could imagine myself glaring at everything. Everything was so pretty, and oh, I thought pretty. And that was the prettiest woman I had ever seen. She was just so pretty. Now, Mr. and Mrs. John Wilson first owned that place. And Richard told them, she was a Scot before she married. She was soliciting for the Red Cross. And she went to this desk and said, I wrote out a check for $25. And I thought, boy, we must be millionaires. We weren't given like that.
Yeah.
But I can remember that just as well.
You know anything about the Jolly House on the other side of it?
No, I don't. I just don't really know a thing about that.
I was curious.
I've been in that house. When there was somebody lived there, Miss Lena McLean lived in that house for a while, and I remember being up there. I just don't know too much about the history of that at all. I think it's an attractive place.
Now, your house isn't too old, though, is it?
25.
Is it 25 years old?
In December. We were here in December.
Was there another house on this property before this house?
No.
Or this was just part of the Estill place?
Mm-hmm. This was part of that. And
you had the stone pillars out there to come through, and I wondered.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that came up. They moved those posts.
Oh, they did?
Yes. Wait a minute now. I don't believe they moved but one of those posts. Those posts were the ones that came in the driveway to Ms. Loomis. And you see, when we bought this lot, that made that road over there right against our carport here. The road was just right against it. So the Vestals finally moved it over further, which was a big job for them. And then Ms. Looney, when she sold us this lot, is when she put that road up there. That's new. Really.
So this was the road originally up to the house. It would have swung around in front of the Estill home.
And they used to have a cabin out here that, different people that worked for them, you see, lived in that cabin.
Behind this house?
Uh-huh. And that big place out there, coach house, was built, and of course that was quite a fine thing too when they built it.
It's still a fine thing.
Yeah. And somebody said, why in the world didn't you all buy that and make a home out of it? I've seen it in magazines, you know, for you to make homes out of it. But I don't know too much about that house. Mm-hmm. But I know this house was mostly for the hands of the cook and all, would say. Of course, they had a lot of help. Just a lot of help. And they farmed some. And Mr. and Mrs. Brooks had... I wouldn't know how much land, but this where the road goes through, you see, was part of the land of this farm. And I don't know how much, many acres would be in the beginning, you know, about how much they would have.
Well, Ms. Clark, I want to thank you. You've been a big help to me today.
And I
appreciate you having me. You really have. You told me things I didn't know, like this road coming up to the Estill house and how old the Estill house was and other things.
Well, they are, that house over there is old, and I wouldn't doubt. Now, I've heard the Rolf house down here, I don't know if you know what that is or not, was the oldest house in Leslie. Now, I don't know whether that is right or not, but I've heard that.
The Rolf house?
Rolf house.
Where Mary Parker used to live?
Uh-huh.
I've heard that, too, but I...
And then, but this house over here is old. It's really old.